Well, the one thing about actually doing a solo outside broadcast report, poor Ed Wellman suffering with a bad foot, is that one can actually get out and about and encounter folk that you've never actually met before, even though they've been actually at the NHS Spring Flower Show before. I'm looking at a fabulous stand called Alpines, and we're speaking to...
My name's Yvonne Harbutt from Ruffham Hall Nurseries.
Yvonne, share with us, Ruffham Hall Nurseries. I mean, it looks as though here you've got a whole series of teeny-weeny wonderful baby plants, as you'd expect in a nursery.
Yes, yes. Well, what we try to do when we come to the show is bring a range of different things that we grow, so we appeal to lots of different customers. So we've got the alpines for people like in their rockery gardens this time of year, through to the soft fruit, so people like to grow in on their allotments, as well as perennials, is what we specialise in. So we carry along a large range of perennials for people really to get into the garden now, to get established for summer flowering, rather than have them all in full flower now. So the idea is to have some offers on that people can fill the garden, enjoy the summer, and the fruit as well from the soft fruit. So
we talk a great deal with our undergraduate students at SRNFM, of course, at the University of Lincoln, about ways of getting into gardening. I mean, it would look as though these kind of plants, they're not particularly high maintenance, or are they good starter plants?
Yes, they are. And also, a lot of them are very adaptable to most soil types. There's not too many that are fussy on soil types. So you can put them in, tend them, deadhead them. They'll come back. A lot of them will come back through the summer period for you. Die back over winter, and then, of course, in the following spring, come back with the vengeance, and so you haven't got to keep sort of replacing over the course of the year. So,
and location-wise, it has to be said, you've probably got the best of both worlds here, because you've actually got the tarpaulin cover on the one hand. On the other hand, it means that if you've got the fresh air that's coming through, if it does get a little bit precipitous with rain, etc., at least you're fairly dry.
A little bit sheltered, we are, and it attracts the customers coming through. If it's raining, they have a little bit of shelter, but they can still shop and see along the colonnade. But we do have two other stands here as well. So we have one inside, we've got an exhibit of perennials inside, and we also have a larger stand outside where we do are open to the elements, unfortunately. But
all adds to the experience of the gardening joy. Now, clearly, as an exhibitor of 5 years, I think you've probably seen two show directors, one to the show, a third show director now, with Nick Smith, of course, looking after the whole thing. Do you sense a kind of... I mean, I just sense it gets better and better each year. I mean, what are your own thoughts?
Yes, I believe so. And also, I think it's they're always changing, not always changing, but adapting as you need to, and as you do indeed in business. And I think the same, the show does have very much that understanding that they need to listen to their customers, listen to their exhibitors, and, you know, evolve as the years go on. I believe it does have everything, something for everybody.
So every year we like to actually sort of say, well, we really should pay a visit to a particular exhibitor, and Ruffham Hall Nurseries, would you be up for us joining you for a location report there?
You can do, but it's come quite a long way, because we're four hours away down in Suffolk, Bury St Edmunds, so it's quite a trek, but you're more than welcome to come out.
I'll just confirm that, you see, because Rachel Warren, who again is in Bury St Edmunds at this moment, because that's her home base, otherwise she would have been with us today, she specifically tasked me with getting a Bury St Emma's link, and there we are, we've connected.
Thank you very much. Well, we'd love to see you at the nursery if you'd like to come and see us.
Wonderful experience where we have the media feeding on other media and connecting in all sorts of ways. This is actually being filmed for posterity, so we'll find out in a few moments. But we're delighted now to be able to speak to the fabulous
Gemma Sharp.
And Gemma, you're with?
Briggs & Stratton.
So Briggs & Stratton, for those people who might hear that and think, what does it actually mean? What exactly do you do?
Briggs & Stratton are the world's largest petrol engine manufacturer. So their engines are on all sorts of small outdoor power equipment, mostly lawnmowers.
Now, clearly, the company's decided to utilise your good self to provide the glamour and the appeal for this whole setup. But presumably, you haven't as yet been asked to actually pose over one of these particular engines. I'm just thinking about the horticulture equivalent of the car shows.
No, I haven't yet. But
it's a thought.
Yes, definitely. But we're actually here to do a bit of testing and a bit of consumer research. We're not here to sell anything. We've got a brand new engine, which is an instant starting engine. It's an industry first. It's not going to be launched until spring 2015, so we're getting people to try it out and tell us what they think.
We were speaking recently to Diarmaid Gavin, a well-known celebrity gardener, and he was saying that one of the constant lines that you need to do, you can't put it off, is to cut the grass.
Yes.
Now, I'm sensing this is the ideal opportunity for folk to actually get involved with respect to that. So what are the advantages of the new model that we've got here?
The new model means that you don't have to do any more priming, choking or pulling. You just press a button and mow. And the ladies are absolutely loving it, because they don't have to get the guys to start the mowers for them anymore.
Now, I'm sufficiently experientially enhanced to remember the challenges of that, which is one of the reasons why cutting the lawn, it's no, please, just get somebody else to do that. Is it possible to demonstrate that? So unless they can actually sort of work through this. Let's just wander along. We'll talk as the thing sort of works through this, because this is the whole thing. Okay.
This is the petrol engine, exactly the same as any other petrol engine, but it has a special feature. which is a little lithium-ion battery, which is called InStart, and it just slots in like any other power tool battery. You can charge it up, you can see what charge you've got left, and that powers this little switch.
Right, okay.
And you press the button down.
If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I would not have believed it. I mean, I think suddenly we're in the 21st century when it comes to cutting the grass.
Definitely, definitely. It is that simple.
And in terms of obviously movements, it's the rest of the stuff. It's relatively light and easy to actually move from that. Yes, that's fine.
I mean,
it works from that.
The engines will be available on all sorts of different size mowers and things like that. So different cutting widths, rear roller mowers, mulching mowers and all that kind of stuff.
There will be people who will be listening to this podcast who sadly can't get to the NEHS Springflower Show, and obviously that's one of the archive scenarios. So, website, how do people get in touch with you?
If you go to www.briggsandstratton.com, you'll be able to find all of the information. But can I just reiterate that this isn't available until spring 2015?
Well, so. Absolutely. I mean, you've got a whole fire on that side of things. Now, what about the other events during the course of the Chelsea Flower Show, Tatton Park? Will you be present at those?
No, this is the only show that we're doing to gather some consumer research. We will be doing some of the trade shows, machinery trade shows, but look out for us next year.
Gemma, it's been a genuine delight. And as I say, who would have thought that the setting up a machine could be made to be so wondrously simple? Truly wonderful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, as you may have gathered, we've wandered outside. Now we're sort of wandering inside under a site routine with the fabulous company called the Victorian Bench Company, handmade in Yorkshire. And you can tell it's an absolutely classy company and organisation because we've got champagne, we've got all sorts of things, and we've got the fabulous...
Louise Ashby.
Louise, share with us. I mean, this looks like the, actually in so many ways, the quintessential British summer. We have sophistication, charm, delight, all sorts of things from the Victorian Bench Company. And drizzle outside. Fantastic.
Yes. Unfortunately about the rain, but we've actually done quite well. I mean, our furniture is made in a traditional Yorkshire foundry in the Yorkshire Dales. My husband actually makes them, so it's all in the family. And the cast aluminium, and they're beautiful, and they last a lifetime. It's a lifetime purchase. Lots of different colours available, and yes, it's wonderful.
In terms of the names, the thing that does spring to mind is that it does have a feel of classic Victorian design, but very much designed for the 21st century.
I think so. I like to think of it as the Victorian patterns, trying to keep tradition alive, but with a little bit of a modern twist. We've had a lot of younger people come and say they really like some of the benches. And I myself, I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm...
25, I think.
Yeah, 25. But I really love them. I think they're fantastic. And just to keep that Victorian tradition, I'm so proud of it. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the sort of level is there. I think hats off to your husband for the sort of design and the intricacy that we've actually got there, because it does make such a refreshing change. Obviously, no name checks, but there are other companies possibly based in Scandinavia. And you just think, but it's so basic.
Yes. I think you just pay for what... You buy for what you... I can't say that.
You get what you pay for.
That's what I was going to say. And if you want to go to another company and get a cheaper bench, then fine, but it might last you a year. But come here and it will last you at least 25 years.
It's a legacy.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So have you actually exhibited at the Spring Flower Show or the Autumn Flower Show before?
I haven't, no, not personally. But I'm hoping maybe to do something in autumn, or at least to do the Harrogate Flower Show next spring. But I definitely want to take it to a whole other level because I really think it deserves to be showcased.
I would totally agree, Louise. I mean, it's excellent stuff in this sort of area. I mean, roughly how long does it take to make, for instance, one of these chairs?
I would say a chair would take probably 1 week. Just itself, it's so... I mean, it's hard manual labour. And I just love the fact we're just keeping the tradition going.
No,
really.
I think that's absolutely essential. In the background, of course, we have the wonderful sort of rumbuxious sound of the brass band in full force.
Yes, I'm enjoying the music.
As you're making your debut, both obviously for Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM, and of course with the Spring Flower Show, your thoughts overall on the whole event?
I've absolutely loved it. It's my first show, and I think everyone is so friendly. It's been a fantastic atmosphere, and everyone just supports each other, so I'm really enjoying it.
So I'm thinking, Louise, wearing my sort of managing editor of Southside Broadcasting hat, would you be up and your husband be up for us kind of just following through the excitements of the Victorian Bench Company as the whole year proceeds? Is this the man himself?
This is my husband, yes.
This is the man who we've been eulogising about and saying wonderful stuff, etc. Good morning, sir. How are you?
All right, thank you. Very
straight,
well.
Straight into a raid interview, so it's the sort of media coverage that we've actually got there. Just about a week to make one of these chairs. What particularly, you know, appeals to this? Because, I mean, Louise has been rightly sort of just singing the praises, and I have to agree with everything she actually said. There really are superlative stuff here. What sort of makes it from yourself?
Well, they're all traditionally handmade in the Yorkshire Dales, and it's from a traditional foundry, and it's all sand cast in the traditional way, and it's... It's a lovely product.
I think that sums it all up. And I've just been saying to Elise, what we'd quite like to do is follow you guys through perhaps a year or so and just see how the thing's actually expanding and all the rest of the bits and pieces. Would you be up for that?
Thank you. Yeah, I really would love that.
Okay, and what about the craftsperson here? Are you up for that?
Yeah, definitely. The sky's the limit. Let's move.
Yes, don't forget the Victorian Bench Company.
And if we're looking at that, what about the excitement of the website? Do we have that as well?
We do have a new website out. Yes, it's victorianbench.co.uk. And please go on there for any information you need, or contact me directly, Louise Ashby. It's louise.ashby@hotmail.co.uk.
Wandering in one of the fabulous halls here, and a charming lady actually said, would you like some seeds? I said yes, if you provide an interview for us. She's now jumped off to the other side, but she's introduced us to, from the Royal Horticultural Society, the fabulous
Libby Goodacre.
Libby, good to connect with your good self. I'm sure we actually spoke to another Libby from the Royal Horticultural Society a few years ago, but never mind, we'll work. Listen, RHS, let's get the acronym correct, RHS in Yorkshire, the regional development team. It sounds as though you are a crack team of three horticultural experts or more who are quite literally convinced that you will be turning Yorkshire yellow. So talk to us. What's happening here?
We've been working with the Welcome to Yorkshire campaign on actually trying to turn Yorkshire yellow in aid of the Tour de France. So we've got some advice and some leaflets and some seeds that we're giving away just to make sure that people can actually celebrate the tour coming through the county in July.
The Grand Départ is something we started covering, of course, last year, and the Great Yorkshire Show was very excited by that. It's here now. It's nice to see that obviously the horticulturalists can actually celebrate as well.
Absolutely, and we're just trying to give people advice on annuals and perennials and also shrubs, because it's actually quite a difficult time of the year to make the gardens turn yellow. It's great for spring, but in July it's a little bit more difficult. So we've actually got an advisory leaflet here on the stand, but also on our website that people can download to find.
It's the interactivity that certainly appeals, because I'm looking at this whole notion of stay and grow, create a paper pot using the paper potters provided, sow seeds of yellow mixed annuals to attract pollinators to your garden and turn Yorkshire yellow, and then of course keep the pot outside and ensure it is watered. So it doesn't sound too complicated, even for somebody who is as horticulturally challenged as myself.
It never is. It's just about actually making sure that you do things properly and look after them, and a little bit of patience and things will grow. It's not difficult gardening, it just requires a little bit of time and effort.
You say that, Libby, but you know, as I was saying to Diarmaid Gavin and indeed Martin Fish when he was show director here, you know, I think keeping a spider plant alive has been the maximum of my aspirations over the years, but still.
Well, you can kill with kindness. It's not always a good thing to overwater. That's my advice on that one.
Very true. Okay, what was it that appeals to your good self? And obviously, the thing about the Royal Horticultural Society is something anybody can actually get involved with. And of course, you have a whole range of other factors as well.
We certainly do. We've got our fabulous garden at RHS Harlow Carr. That's in Harrogate. But we've also got the stuff that we do, which is also around working with schools. So we've got a campaign for school gardening. So we're very interested in making sure that gardening clubs in schools are successful. We also run advice and workshops, and also work with a community gardening initiative, which is Yorkshire in Bloom. So we're reaching out to all parts of the community to make sure that we get more people gardening and sharing our love and our passion of gardening and what's all that's good about that, really.
And a name check for your fine team here, one of whom obviously sort of is responsible for this interview by saying, would you like some seeds? That, of course, is Diane Rollinson.
Hello there.
And, of course, you have somebody else who's on the staff as well. Who is?
And that's Sarah Jane. She's not here at the moment, but she's actually my team member, and she actually helps me out. So if anybody ever wanted to contact us, it would be myself, Libby Goodacre, or Sarah Jane Mason at RHS Harlow Carr, who could help with any further questions anybody has.